Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Punjab Chemicals & Crop Protection Limited, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mahawar.
Thank you, Michelle. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all the participants on the call of Punjab Chemicals & Crop Protection. From the management, we have Mr. Shailesh Shroff, Managing Director, Mr. Vinod Gupta, CEO, and Dr. S. Sriram, CFO on the call. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Shroff for opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to Mr. Shroff.
Thanks, Manish, and guys, welcome to this first Q1 for Punjab Chemicals this year. Thank you so much for your time. I hope you all are safe and being a long weekend, be a little bit more careful because still COVID is around, and as usual, we need to take precautions, and I hope you're taking. I will just hand over to Vinod and Sriram. They'll just give you an update on what has been the journey for the first quarter, and thereafter then we can go into discussion on any queries, questions you have. To the best of our ability, we'll do our utmost to reply to all your queries. Thanks.
Thank you, Shailesh bhai. This is Sriram here from Punjab Chemicals. I am CFO for the company. Thank you very much for attending this call today. I think it's Raksha Bandhan Day, and I hope you all celebrated this early in the morning and coming and attending this meeting. Thank you very much for your time. As you know, our growth momentum continues with the revenue of almost 272 crores in this quarter, which is close to 29% on a year-on-year basis. That's a very robust growth as far as, you know, we look at it from the sales turnover point of view. There are some concerns. As you all know, the raw material prices and utility costs have an impact on our gross margin. That's the reason you must have seen in our balance sheet, also in our profit and loss account. There's a slight reduction due to that. The gross margin has reduced a little bit. We are putting an effort to pass it on to the customer to the maximum possible. Maybe another one quarter we may see a similar result, but post that we are confident that it will improve. Also, if you look at the global supply chain or yet to stabilize, as we have been telling from the last two quarters, the shipping lines and, you know, cost of logistics costs has gone up, not only because of fuel, but also availability were an issue. That's the reason the logistics costs had remained a little elevated. We are very confident because, you know, our order book remains very robust. Our customers are very much satisfied with our product and, yeah, they are placing on our repeat orders, as we go along. This is what we wanted to, you know, just communicate to you all being our stakeholder. Also, if you look at the PAT, we are close to 20 crores of PAT we have generated in this quarter. With that, I hope you would have seen our presentation also, which was posted on our website. We're happy to take further questions and call from you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jay Shah from OHM Portfolio Equi Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, Sunil Bhai. Nice set of results with the top line growth, but obviously I think EBITDA margin leaves much to be desired. So can you explain what are these efforts to pass on the same to the customers, and why should we see another quarter lag? Because I believe you've been indicating in the past that you try to work on a fixed cost, fixed margin kind of model, where mostly you should get the pass-throughs, as we saw in the last quarter. So what has particularly gone wrong?
Yeah, so Jay, good morning, and thanks for your question. So as you know, that the cost on energy has gone up robustly. I mean, you know, our main fuel which we use is rice husk. And, you know, even the monsoon season has been a little, there has been some extra rain. So, you know, to get good quality of rice husk, and during this time, particularly the prices go up. And we are addressing to ensure how we make sure that this cost within ourselves as a company, we look at alternate fuels, which we are working on. As far as the cost, yes, our module of working is very clear with the customer on how we take it forward. But this time, the cost has been a little bit robustic. So looking at a goodwill gesture with these customers, because as always I've told you, you know, with these customers, we don't look at only one product, but we look at long-term. And with all these customers, we have a long-term contract. So on a year-to-year basis, what is the growth of business we are going to expect, not only from the existing, but the newer molecules. So looking into all this aspect, we as a management team, along with the customer, we did take a little bit, you know, haircut on our margin. Having said that, as moving forward, we are addressing to discuss with these customers and also look at alternate fuels where how we can try and address it. But yes, by and large, because of the situation globally, there has been a concern. And sometimes we have to compromise. But looking forward, we don't foresee. We are very confident with the order book we have, with the contracts which are in place, the newer businesses which we are discussing with the customers. And obviously, it's very important, not only pertaining to health, safety, environment, but now even on energy costs, which we are addressing. So we are very confident that between the second and the third quarter, you will see much better in terms of the top line as well as the margins. Yeah.
Okay. So am I understanding correct that it is up to us to work out the alternative fuels and do a bit of cost cutting? But these long-term contracts are at a prices which may not be reset, at least going forward. Or do you expect the price reset to happen by second quarter? And you may be absorbing the cost hikes for the first two quarters.
That's right, Jay. So as I said that, you know, being the first quarter, the you know, we didn't expect the cost going so high. So as I said, we, with the customer in confidence, looking at the long-term relationship, we also took a little a little haircut on our margin. And as I said, we are already discussing with them, and we are pretty sure, looking at alternate and efficiency improvement within the second and the third quarter, we'll be able to address this. In fact, we have already discussed with these customers, and we have had them reviewing it, and they have also acknowledged it. And I think in the next between 6 to 12 weeks, we should be in a position to understand and address it in an appropriate manner in way the contract is spelled out. Yeah.
Shalil bhai, I would like to add one more point to Mr. Jay's question. Some of these calls are actually strategic call where in some products, we are simply trying to double our market share from where we are today. So as we go in the market and try to capture new markets, it's a strategic call maybe for a quarter or two to just get the new customers on board. And that's where we have sort of compromised on some margins, which will get restored once we have entry to these markets. So it's a combination of high fuel cost, which we are trying to pass on, and some strategy calls around expanding market share also.
Okay, I suppose these are this is to try to get the new customers on board.
This is new markets. This is new markets with the same, because you know it's a contract manufacturing, so we work with the same set of customers. But the same, these customers go and capture new market, get new registrations, and as we try to enter new markets, sometimes we probably will have to do this just to enter the market.
Okay. And secondly, I noticed that at Lalru, the utilization has dropped from 70% to 53%. So is there a production constraint or it's a function of demand?
It's a function of demand at the moment. One particular product in Lalru, which contributes significantly to Lalru's volume, that product actually last year, that particular product had a crop failure. So there is an inventory in the market. So we see that product coming back in Q3 onwards, and hence and that's where we see slightly lower capacity utilization at all. So it's a short-term phenomena, mainly because of one particular product not being available for us during the quarter.
Thanks. That's useful. And perhaps, Salilbhai, maybe you can talk something about the outlook going forward for this year, how confident you are of targets, and any new customer wins or discussions which, you know, some of them were in progress in terms of some specific products and things that you've been highlighting. Thanks.
Yeah, so Jayesh has already always on various calls I said, we are very confident that what we have put the path, as you know, that the supply situation from China to many of these customers is becoming a challenge. And not only Japanese, but now we have European, U.S. companies contacting us on how we can be part of their supply chain. So one is, I would break into two parts. One is with the existing customers, as Vinod said, that we are looking at more market share to improve the existing product and also discuss with them on new products, which is already ongoing. And two is tapping new customers. So as I've always informed that in agro, whenever we talk to a customer, by the time we go on a contract, we go on to agreement, we go on to manufacturing and selling, it takes anywhere between 6 months to 1 year because it's a registration process. But looking at today's the contacts, the inquiries, the order book we are very confident that within this year to next year, we should at least add in another two products which are sizable. As I said, that we are not trying to be choosy, but now people have looked at the strength of Punjab, and we're looking at molecules which are ranging between $80 a kilo to close to $140 a kilo, and their market size can be anywhere between 300 to 500 tons. So all this is being discussed, has been penciled down, and we are very confident as a team that we will go ahead, because they are very they have visited our site, they have met our team, and they are very happy that this is the way we can move forward. And post 23, we expect more and more customers, because as you know that once the customer base increases, not only with the new customers what product we do, but we also try and talk to them. So with a new customer, if you start talking a product today, maybe in the next 1.5 to 2 years, depending on the supply chain, we can start talking with them on newer molecules. Yeah. So just to give you a little bit on the product side, even on the performance chemical has been good. In general, the pharma has been a little slow, but that's a temporary phenomena. We are also discussing with customers like Taiichi Sankyo in Japan, people like Abbott in the US, on what we can do on some basic or advanced intermediates. So those talks are also happening, because other than agro, which always dominates close to 60-70% of our sales, the balance 20-30%, we are doing work with our customers how we can expand the performance chemical division too. Yeah.
So is it right to say that qualitatively your inquiries or pipeline should be at least twice of what it was last year?
Yeah, maybe a little bit more. I mean, by and large, I mean, you know, an inquiry which comes in, and you know, as I've always told Jayesh, you know, our customers are to whom we discuss who have their own registration. So we work very strongly people who invest in registrations, and also in certain parts we do not mind participating with them, you know, because this becomes pretty sure, because we don't, you know, an agro product is something where, okay, if there is a shortage, maybe, you know, people have various means to, you know, import that product, but we prefer to do it through the right channel, and that is the registration channel. So, yes, to answer your question is, there are more than what we had last year, yeah.
Okay. So, any more customer wins that could happen, say, in the coming quarter, or will it take longer time?
Well, we have two strong products which we have already demonstrated. Things are on advanced stages. But I believe close to the year end, we should be penciling down into a long-term agreement. Yeah?
Thank you and best of luck.
Thanks, Jayesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So just a clarity, you said about two products, which will be a sizable one, that $80, $140 per kg. So can you give some more light, what kind of volume you are expecting, or overall, what would be the size of each product in terms of revenue?
So, Ranveer, as I said, you know, I mean, all agro products go through, you know, first is you make the product, which we have done, then we go through the five batch, where we do the impurity profile and then registration. So the market size, as I said, it depends on the product, ranges between 200 to 400 tons. We believe at least in the first year, so if we are very confident that by next year we have our registration in place, so we can expect anywhere between 30 to 40% for the first or maybe the second year. And then robustly, we can go to maybe around 50 to 60% depending on who else is in the market. So in generally, when we look at a product where we are backward integrated, and you know that Punjab, we are always good at it. Any product which we look at, we try and, you know, look at raw materials more closely. Don't want to depend much from the outside world, but try and, you know, do whatever we can in India. So it depends on the product mix, on how we are competitive, and based on that we look at the market share. But as I said, you know, from launch to going into full is starting between 20 to maybe 50 to 60%. Yeah.
And when that revenue would start flowing from this tentatively?
So, yeah, as I said, if everything goes well, we should have maybe something in quarter four, but would be more visibility in the next financial year, yeah?
Fine, fine. And secondly, you spoke about, you know, few products where you want to double market share. So, can you give some more light which products actually we are focusing to get more market share or double the market share?
So, Ranveer, I mean, you know, by and large, you know, agrochemicals, we don't try and pinpoint product name, because as all our products are under confidential and long-term agreements. Okay. So, you know, yeah, so as Vinod said, so maybe, Vinod, would you like to just add on to what Ranveer is asking?
I think, I mean, see, we don't give product-specific information. But these are all products which have, all I can say is that they have very good growth going forward. And also we see a huge potential in different geographies across the world. And these products are also finding new applications in the crop protection market. So sorry, we can't give any specific information, but we are looking at a long term where for next 8 to 10 years, these products will see some robust growth in the market.
And just to add, Ranveer, to Vinod, is, you know, one is every agrochemical has different mixtures. So, you know, the new market where we are looking at is a different mixture. So if, and this different mixture has been successful I will just tell you, it's in the Latin market. And we expect if the results and everything goes well, the existing product is again $40-$50 a kilo. And Punjab today we are at around maybe 300-400 tons. We can easily double it in the next 1 year. Yeah? So maybe you are more better and good in calculation. Just to give you a perspective on the way we work, because every product has single way, double way, three way mixtures, you know, which goes into cereals, which goes into you know, like wheat, rice, then it goes into citrus, you know, like oranges, pineapples, you know, bananas, like for example in places like Guatemala, you know, Latin market where, you know, our exposure has been there, but it's not that big what we have in Europe and the US. So that's the market which we are going to, which will bring in tremendous energy and sales towards the existing product bunch in Punjab, yeah?
Yeah, I think your commentary were in a context that prices we may not increase because the volume, the market share, we want to grab more market share. That's why then I thought that probably that is related to few products. So no problem if you are not giving the name, but in agrochemical, just I wanted to understand if you have that product in your mind, so what is your current market share and which market, whether in India or international market we are talking about. So for example, if you have 10% of market share for that particular product, and that we can expect that 20%. So that kind of highlight, you may not name the name of the product, but just a sense that what is the current market share of that particular product and where they are going to be if we retain our price constant here.
So, Ranveer, this is a herbicide. The market is close to 2,500 tons globally. Punjab right now we are only at close to around 20%, maybe a little less than 20%, and we want to get this to close to 40%. So I'm sure this answers your question. One, as you said, is the raw material. As you know that, you know, because of the war situation, everything between last November to maybe this quarter, the raw material price has been a little fluctuating. Because China also had some lockdown, so it's not that alternate supplies were also there, but you know, every company, whenever there is shortage, they always want to make some money. Not out with all our suppliers, we have a long-term contract, but we see that the tapering of raw material prices have also started. So you will see that within the second, third quarter, the margin towards what we compromised a little bit will start improving in a good manner, yeah?
Okay, fine. That's good. And just a last one, if I could, that of the total order book currently, the 1,500 crore order book we are seeing, how much is in a nature of long-term contract and how much is short-term?
So, Ranveer, generally, as we have always said, that our agro are all, you know, 65% of our sales is on long-term contract, which is on a 5 year, then automatically renewed for the next 5 years. And then we have the balance percentage, 35% or 25% of our sales is related to performance chemical. There also, you know, we work with customers. So by and large, if we see the journey moving forward, we don't see any if or buts from any customers. But in fact, they are looking at not asking for one, but they are asking for three. So if they are asking for, say, 50 ton shipment in a month, they want to increase it by 20, 30, 40%, so go to maybe 70, 80 tons. So that's where we want to ensure, because please understand, as I've always said, that we work with customers where our product is registered with them as a supply source. So whenever we as Punjab given commitment, we also need to go back between our suppliers and our production to ensure that the supply is in time, yeah?
Okay, fine. That's good, and that's it from my side. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Yogansh Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions on your expansion that we have announced for 150 odd crores. So in this, firstly, are we doing this at a Dera Bassi plant and have we received the EC from the same, sir?
Yeah, so for both our plants, we have received all the necessary permissions, yeah.
Okay, okay. And sir, in terms of, you know, with this CAPEX, this will be coming in CAPEX or is there a couple of phases for this CAPEX?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, one is, we break it into two parts. One is the newer business where obviously we need to put in CAPEX and to expand that, which is ongoing. And the other is to look at our existing assets to make it more efficient, make it more, environment friendly. Because please understand that HSE, health, safety, environment is also very, very important. And we as a shop group within the companies have been always taught by my great-great-grandfather that, you know, ensure that the safety towards the plants, towards your people working is more important than profits. Yeah, so that's what also we put in our strength to improve that. So these are the two parts where we spend money on. Yeah.
So what I meant to ask was the timeline of these capexes coming on stream. Will this entire capex be in one single phase or it will be divided into a couple of phases like phase one, phase two?
Yeah, so it's basically divided into between 3 to 4 phases, yeah. It's a new project product and then within the existing because, where we need. And nowadays, to get sometimes supplies also within the customer because everybody, a supplier then, he relies on other components to get to his plant. So it's as I said, it's between 3 to 4 phases, yeah.
Understood, sir. So, secondly, like you mentioned in your remarks and you answered the previous participants as well, that we are now looking to add on more customers. So, if we look at FY22, I think probably more than half of our business came in from single client, that was UPL. And even the EC document that we have filed, a lot of the names of the product that we see that UPL has a very significant presence or dominance in those products. So going forward, say in next 3-5 years, what is the kind of dependence that we see of our business from UPL, A? And also, what are the products that we are doing for other clients? If you could just share, if not the product specific, but if you could just, give in some more color or more clarity on the 3 to 5 year vision, how this mix in terms of product and client concentration will look like.
Yeah, so, existingly, yeah, UBL is a big company. They have taken over Arista, so they also need supply chain. So, either they look at Punjab or they look at others, whoever are their vendors. Having said that, between now to 3 years, we should look at UPL going down to maybe 30% and between 3 to 5 years to around maybe between 25 to 30%. Please understand that UPL is a global company. They always look at supply chain and we being part of their journey, not because of the family name, but it's a very transparent and a very professionally driven drive which we do between the companies. And beyond that, as I said, that we are adding more and more Japanese customers. Last year we had three. We have another two which we are discussing and we are very hopeful of taking this forward. So the pie chart dependability on your direct question on UPL will definitely drop as I just mentioned. The geographically we'll try, as I said, we are working with more and more Latin and North American companies and Australia, which is another market where we are already in discussion with a customer within the existing products with the same product. There is another product which we can do, which also brings in more additional revenue towards the business and customer profile. Yeah.
All right. That's really helpful, sir. Sir, if I may squeeze in one last question. So, Rallis was a big supplier to Korea for metconazole. However, we have now broken into this supply chain. So could you talk a bit about how did we come about doing this? Are we able to offer lower pricing, or is it because the demand is growing and so there's a scope for another player to enter the supply chain? If you could just share your experience in this.
Well, I would not like to comment on any customer, like you said, Raleigh's. Yes, Raleigh's also does some job work for the Japanese. Moving forward, we have a very wonderful relationship with this Japanese company. We are already discussing with them on another product. In fact, me and Vinod would be there end of the month to meet them if everything goes well with COVID, because the cases in Japan are a little bit increasing. But anyway, having said that, we believe this year from last year, we should double in terms of our production, what we are supplying to them. And moving forward in the next 2 years, again, as I said, we have a good relationship. It's up to them to decide what they want to take apart. But we believe that this market of this product is gone back into re-registration in Europe, and everything is fair. So as I said, this year we are doubling our sales in terms of production, and moving forward, we should at least increase it by another 30%-40%, yeah, in the next 2 to 3 years, yeah.
All right, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the very best to you and your team.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, number one question is, if I see our top-line growth in this quarter is 29%, but if I see the volume growth, even in the Dera Bassi plant is around only 3% on a year-over-year basis, as well as Landru, obviously, you indicated because of product issue, the utilization was low. And now you're talking about doubling the overall volume in this particular year as a whole. So, I mean, just wanted to understand a little bit more on this. So first thing is that, is that all the growth which we are seeing today is the pricing growth? And when you are talking about doubling the production in this year, so please, if you can elaborate more on this.
Yes, so as I said, that the production will double, which will start from the first quarter. By the time the plant, we did maintenance and, we filled the reactors. So by the time the product comes out, it takes a cycle of between 25 to 30 days. So you'll see in the quarters, the second, third quarter, that volumes will come in, yeah.
Okay, so basically, if I'm not wrong, sir, the overall production in 2022 was around something around 25,000 metric ton, right?
I think, let me, Shahil bhai, I think the first thing is that when we are talking about, say, doubling some market share, that is not for all the products. That is for two or three products. And these volume growth is dependent on the product mix, because our quarter-to-quarter mix, product mix is significantly different. And that is where volume growth is not really a right barometer for assessing our asset utilization. Because in one quarter, depending on crop season, we may produce different products.
So let's say whatever is the reported volume growth, I think the reported volume growth in FY 2022 was around 25,000 metric ton. And when we are seeing that, a couple of products are going to double the volume, so what should be the volume growth in 2023 then?
At an overall company level, we probably will look at a volume growth on year-on-year basis anywhere between 12%-15%, or maybe more. I mean, I have not calculated exact number, but it will be minimum 15%.
Okay. So basically, is it fair to assume that all the new products which we are adding, or all the products where you are trying to double the volume, are high-value products? That is why we will see a probably lesser volume growth and the revenue growth would be higher?
Yes, I think all the molecules where we are focusing are high.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And secondly, sir, like you, as you indicated that, the margin pressure, which is there in the current quarter, will subside going ahead, let's say in Q2 and Q3. But then if the power cost doesn't moderate, still you'll be able to pass on the prices? Because, going by the global scenario, it doesn't look like that, you know, the power cost and the coal cost, all these things are going to moderate very soon.
Yeah, so as I said, the first quarter, I mean, I would say last financial year and this quarter, the prices went dramatically, and you're right, maybe there would be a little bit correction, but not so much. And that's where I did mention, I think Jay or somebody was asking a question, and I said that we are already in discussion with our customers, and they are on board, they understand it very much, and, you know, we being a strategic supplier to them, so we are addressing it, and we are pretty confident that within these second and third quarter, we should be able to get back to our run rate, yeah, in terms of margins.
And what would be, sir, our overall 23 revenue guidance?
Well, I really don't know whether I can reply to this question looking at today's different SEBI laws, because my company secretary doesn't say much. But I would just say that, you know, last year we did 900 plus, so we expected a growth from 670 to 900. So I believe we should be within that range or a little bit more. Please understand that all our products have registration issues. Like even last year we had a little problem because Australia was under lockdown because of COVID. So let's cross fingers that nothing new comes in, you know, where there are delays in terms of registration issues. But we have been we have been discussing and addressing to our customers, and we believe we are very confident to take this forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit from Progressive Share Brokers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shaleen, Srinam, Vinod. So a couple of questions. So starting with the strategic growth plan presentation, which we've been talking about since last three, 4 quarters or so there is no update on that. It wasn't in the AGM yesterday, nor have you updated today. So what is it that is causing the slight a bit of sluggishness over here?
There is no sluggishness. In fact, we are working on it, and we'll soon be sharing it before the second quarter. Yeah.
Okay. Sir, another question is related to the Pune property not being mentioned in the presentation. I had raised this query some quarters ago as well, but we don't seem to be mentioning that. Are you looking at pairing of that asset? And since the capacity is quite high, are you looking to move to some other property or maybe shifting the operations from there, from Pune?
No, Pune, anyway, Sriram, just look into it that, you know, next time we put that as a part of our presentation. But yeah, I mean, the robustic in terms of the phosphorus chemistry, as you know, that, you know, we supply the higher acid to Coke and Pepsi, etc. So that business is promising. And obviously right now, as I did mention, I think a couple of quarters back, that we believe that this business can easily go to two to three times the size. So we are definitely looking at a site, not only for this, but on the overall expansion. So that also, we are on discussion, and we believe we were to narrow on one thing, but due to some issues in terms of authorities, we were not very confident that we would be, you know, we would get that. Otherwise, we would have announced it during the AGM that the site 3 has been ready. But we are already have 2 or 3 in mind, and maybe shortly between the second and third quarter, we should do this announcement. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Dehradun is running at around 85% capacity. I'm taking the average and assuming that Lalru, apart from this quarter, has been running at 65-70 and Pune at around 95. So would you like to share anything on the growth capex plan, if at all you have chalked it out?
Yeah, so the basic where we are going to put our energy is going to be in Lalru, and definitely Vinod did said that it's a product mix, and there is one product which we are already selling, and we believe we can double it, and that will do it at Dehradun. So it's a mix, but majority of the growth towards the performance and agro would come from the Lalru side. And Pune, as I said, is a little stagnant because it's a very small site, and we are already, as I said, scouting. And shortly, once we have that site, we'll definitely take this, you know, in a bigger way on the asset supply chain. Yeah.
Okay. What sort of investments are we looking for these performance chemicals at Lagro side?
So, I mean, you know, as I said that, you know, we are doing an expansion of around 150 CR. So, within the existing infrastructure which we have with a few changes, plus minus, we are working on it. But exactly, we believe that the capex would go up a little bit by another 20 or 25%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I draw attention to this line from the annual report where the chairman has said that you are exploring horizontal expansion as well as vertical integration along the value chain. If you can just elaborate a bit on this line, what sort of vertical integrations are we looking at?
You know, we look at two things. One is, you know, the existing products where it's more on the performance chemical side. You know, where we look at a molecule where we are selling, can we bring in added value? So, for example, if that product is a $1 or $2 or a $4 product, can we add value to bring it to maybe $10, $15, $20? So that's where our thinking is. And we have already looked at two products. Again, these are fine chemicals, so it takes time for the performance for them to ensure that it works within their product whatever they are making. So we are hopeful that maybe not for the second but by the third quarter that would come in. Maybe the volumes are less, the price is high, but the contribution is much far better in terms of what we were doing with the single product and then when we add value to it. Yeah.
So are these two products which you're talking about a part of the
Mr. Rohit, I would request you to rejoin the queue, please. There are many other participants who are waiting for their turn.
Yeah, we're already 50 minutes up now.
Yes. The next question is from the line of Manish Jain from Money Life Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Wanted to know the progress of the three contracts, Nippon Karaku, Singapore-based company, and the domestic one. How are they ramping up?
Yeah, so these contracts are absolutely alive and kicking. And as I said, that the Australian, I mean the Singapore, where we have this contract for the Australian market, we have some delays in registrations. And again, as there was some weather situation, so we believe from the third quarter the product should go. It should start moving from the third quarter. Yeah.
Secondly, are the customers facing any headwinds regarding demand due to the situation in Europe and on the world?
So by and large, you know, we have had an overall review which we generally have it with the customers. Again, both me and Vinod were in Europe a couple of months back and, you know, we met them and we always talked to them. And so far, they are looking at more and more materials. So I think the agro side, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, the climate situations. But we don't foresee any problems so far, as we discussed with our contract customers, and they're very confident.
The impact of that is still we are in the process of assessing as to how will that impact the demand. So we have asked our customers to give do an assessment and come back. But so far the demand is continues to be robust, and we are busy in terms of delivering the volumes.
Okay, lastly, what is the total capex plan for FY23?
Hello?
What is the total capex plan for FY23?
I couldn't hear it.
Hello? Am I audible?
Yeah, now better.
Capex plan for FY23.
Your voice is cracking. I just heard.
Mr. Jay? I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Mr. Jain, I would request you to use your handset to ask a question.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. I just heard some 23 you mentioned something.
No, I wanted to know the total capex plan for FY23.
Yeah, so, you know, as we have said that we have a total capex of 150, you know, out of which we have spent last year some money, and even this year we'll be spending. So anyway, it depends, as I said, it is in different phases. So this year should be anywhere, out of that would be anywhere between 25 20 to 25%. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, just two clarifications. One, on the CRAM side, we are supposed to add two products in 23. So have those been added and supply started? And second, in your growth forecast, somewhere you mentioned that business is dependent on registration. So I'm just trying to clarify whether the growth for FY23 also depends on some registrations which are awaited, or growth for FY23 is dependent on these products where the registrations are available, and any up and down is just because of the offtake by the client.
Yeah, so your first question is, yeah, the two products, one product is already started, supply situation is on. The second one, we expect the registration maybe during the third or the fourth quarter. The second question you asked is, yeah, registration is a key issue. As I was just mentioning that, you know, sometimes the registration happens, but because of COVID, like in Australia, we were delayed by almost 12 to 16 months between, you know, 20 to now. So, you know, it very much depends, you know, certain registration take very quickly. But to answer your question, as far as our business plan for this year, we are not that dependent on the registration. But we believe what we have planned for the financial year of this year, we are very confident to achieve that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The other accompanying question is, in your past calls, you used to mention that usually the lag in your raw material is passed with a, you know, with a lag of one quarter, owing to the nature of the business. Is that hold true, or there is any deviation there?
You mean on the raw material?
Yeah, material side and pass through to the customer is a lag of a quarter based on inventory plus pricing methodologies and everything.
Yeah, so, you know, as we said that the raw material prices of many within the, you know, between last year and this quarter has been robust. We see that it's tapering down, and generally we discuss with our customers because we have this contract as a part of our discussion. So we work with them closely, but in some products, maybe especially on this first quarter, we on the raw material side, we definitely went A to A, but in certain market size, maybe in the margin, we did work both together to ensure we get that market share. But having said on raw material, it's very eye to eye. Yeah? So because a raw material, if today is 1 and becomes 1.5, I mean, any company will never take that haircut because raw material is a straight loss to you. So raw material is absolutely eye to eye. Yeah?
Okay. And when your incremental product basket is the high priced one, based on whatever bifurcation you gave on volume and price growth for FY23, and these products are CRAM based, is it fair to assume that inherently there should be a gross margin expansion incrementally for the company?
Of course.
And inherently there should be an EBITDA margin versus what we have seen in the past 3-4 years?
Yeah, so as I said, you know, I mean, looking at the past performance of Punjab Chemicals, you know, in terms of customers, and now that in the last 2-3 years we have done well, people have seen our strength, people have seen our new management team which has come in, so that is bringing in, and now we are more confident. So wherever we look at where we are single digit, we went between 12 to 14%, and now, as I said, gradually between this year to next year, we're looking between 16-18 to 20 going forward post 23-24.
It would be very helpful if you could tell us CRAMS, how margin differential is versus the base business in, let's say, is it 1.5x better profitability than base business? You know, without giving out the number, we will comprehend ourselves. So,
I mean, you guys are more expert in this than me or Sriram or Vinod, but maybe Sriram, would you like to comment? Because I don't want to comment something and then...
Sorry, I mean... Your question is quite good, but we won't be able to give you a very precise answer. But definitely, your CRAM business will have a better margin.
You do not want to call out the differential.
See, I think please understand, in CRAM contracts, it depends on product to product. It depends on whether it's a 3-stage, 4-stage, 5-stage. But having said that, by and large, the CRAM business, as rightly Shriram said, that's where is the growth which Punjab looks at, and that's where our contracts are in place, and that's where we are very confident, and we have already discussed with the customers, and we believe between the 14% to 16%, we should, gradually move to 16-18%, and then, post, because there are another two products which we are under discussion, and that will really change the product mix between 18 to 20%. Yeah.
Okay. Sneaking in one more, this 18 to 20% is FY25 in your opinion or FY24?
Depends on the product registration. We believe between 24-25%. In between, we should have the hiccup of this. Yeah.
Done, sir. Thank you very much, and all the best to you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is pertaining to our capacities at both the plants. So at Dehradun, if I calculate 85% utilization for FY22, the capacity comes to about 28,000. And based on the 87% capacity utilization for Q1, it comes to about 33,500. Is the number correct?
Unfortunately, yesterday I did travel, but on capacities, I think Shriram, next time maybe we can have a little better clarity, or if you have something, you can just highlight to the gentleman.
Sir, we have lost the line of management. Please stay connected while I reconnect them.
Okay, so anyway, you're with me. So, the existing capacity which we have, which you mentioned, based on that, this year we believe we should grow by around anywhere between 14% to 16%. There is this one more product, is that Clickfin, which would come in, but the final flow would be between 23, so it will be April of 23, which will be in the next financial year. And that would add another 8%. So we should be between, and we are very confident that we will be able to get that part of the contract, because it's an existing business which we are already doing. So it should go to around 24%. Yeah.
Sorry, my question was pertaining to the production capacity. So I understand that we'll be growing by, say, 12 to 14% in terms of volumes, and if product, new product.
Yeah, well, that's what I answered. I mean, you mentioned some 32 or whatever. Based on it, you'll go to 33. So that's what I said. With today's existing production, within this year, we should be the first year because of one or two products. Because I talk as a company on the whole, yeah? I'm not talking this thing. So we expect, as I mentioned, that is in terms of the percentage, yeah?
Right. So again, second question, in our slide 14, for Lalru, we have said that capacity added in FY21 is 3,000 metric tons. But based on the utilization of FY22, the capacity again comes at, say, 1,900 or metric tons. I just wanted a clarification. Maybe I can take
I
it offline.
Maybe you didn't listen. As you know, did mention that there was this product in Lalru, basically, where the registration issue had come in place, but because of the market and stock piled up at the customers, we expect this to start post quarter three.
Sure. And just one last clarification, what was the percentage of revenues coming from UPL in FY22?
This year, I think in 22, we were at close to around 36 or 37%, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
I think we can take one more question, and then because, 12:30, I have, me and Vinod, I have another call with the customer, yeah.
Sure, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question, which is from the line of Rajesh Jain from NB Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I have two, three questions, so I'll read out very fast. Sir, we had been doing around 500 crores of top line since FY14, with an exception of FY19, where we did around 600 crores or so. Then the top line revenue suddenly went to 678 in FY21, and we have done 933 crores in 22. So my question is, what are the reasons for this jump in revenue since last 2 years? Is it only due to China Plus One strategy, or is there any other factor that you can attribute?
So basically two aspects. One is that, you know, when we were at that 500, we, you know, as I said, in agro, every product takes time. So whenever we find contracts, so today if I find a contract, by the time we get the registration production, it takes, it depends on the product cycle. So it's anywhere between 8 to 12 months. So basically the revenue growth which has come in is for newer product more and a little bit from the existing product capacity. I hope that replies to your question, because I
need new products that you could able to get the business. Is it purely because of China Plus One strategy only?
I will not put everything onto China, because even today, I mean, you know, we also don't like to buy, but we also buy. I mean, not we, as any Indian company, we people also buy from China raw materials. There are one or two products which we have not yet taken into our portfolio where people are looking at China One policy. But by and large, the projects which we have done are newer, innovative products. And it's not because China was there and, you know, they want to look at alternate. It depends on that customer. But yeah, moving forward, there are two products which we are looking at China One, and that would, you know, reflect. But by and large, between 500 to 900, what we did is purely within the existing contracts, newer customers, understanding the new management and our plant safety, etc., to ensure that we also supply them quality products and in time. Yeah.
Okay. Sir, just about, since you said about the products, currently we have around 11 products we make from the two plants, which, you know, investor presentation shares that data.
Yeah, I'll just stop you here. You know, the reason is there are certain products under contract which we do not mention. So it's more than 11, but yeah, you may continue, because what happens is if there is a confidential agreement with a customer, then we are not allowed to disclose the product name.
But is it possible to tell us how many number are there other than this 11 in our company's product profile?
Please understand this very confidential information, but just to add, it's around four products more.
No, fine. So what I wanted to ask you was that out of these 15 products that we have currently, how many of them were new, and, you know, whatever this increase in sales was, you know, given by these new products?
So within the last 3 years, we have added close to 6 new products. Yeah.
And how much they have contributed to the sales, sir?
Oh, you can, you yourself take it. We were at 500 and today we are at 960. And that also, all these new 6 products, out of that 3, we have not reached to their production capacities because, you know, COVID was there. There were lots of challenges. So, you know, take that also. We have to take that also into consideration.
Agreed. So that means these 6 new products have contributed around 300 to 400 crores of additional sales. That is what is the assumption, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So my second question is, again, with the increase in sales, our EBITDA margins for the last 2 years have also have gone up. So my thinking is that, one, the capacity utilization went up, and second, you would have, you know, these 6 new products, maybe they have a high margin product. Is these assumptions are right?
You're bang on.
Okay. Now, is this margins, I think you have already given 18 to 20%. So it, going ahead also, this is sustainable.
Yes. I mean, you know, the margin side, but maybe in, depending on the product mix. So your statement towards this, absolutely right.
Okay. So my last question is about the land utilization. Sir, you have already given in the investor presentation about Lal Roo, how much additional spare land is available. Do we have similarly at the Darabasi also any spare land?
So in Darabasi, as I said, we have 2 blocks which can definitely bring in good revenue sales to that plant. But by and large, Lal Roo has more space. And as I did mention during the call today, that we were on the finalization of one site, but because of some technical hiccup, we could not. So we already are in discussion with two more sites, and we are hopeful that between Q2, Q3, we will bring in. So that will also bring in more, energy towards the newer business expansion which we are looking at, because the existing customers today, like I said, one customer we do with Nippon Kayako. Nippon Kayako close to does 3 to 4 billion in agro, and we are only doing $30 million. So you can see, and they're very happy with us. They visited us. We are visiting them. So we are already starting to discuss, and how we can expand on a year-to-year basis between now to say 3 years down the line. Today we are doing 30 million. Can we take this to, by 30%, 40%, 50% in the next 2 to 3 years? Yeah.
So that means we are looking at the land near Pune or near Dehradun, sir? That clarification.
Oh, we are at the moment looking somewhere between Gujarat and Maharashtra. Yeah.
Gujarat and Maharashtra. Okay. So if I can squeeze in last question. One is that,
Interrupt, Mr. Jain. We are extending the conference timing.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. I wish you all
so
the best.
Thank you so much. As that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nachiket Kale for closing comments.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks to all the participants on the call. And I would also like to thank the management for sparing the time and answering all the detailed questions. For any queries, you can get in touch with us, Orient Capital. We are the Investor Relations Advisor to Punjab Chemicals. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.